connect with the program, call 800-387-8025 or visit the show online at rudymaxa.com. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back, everyone. Robert and Mary with you for our showcase segment this hour, in which we'll be joined by show friend Ann Banas, the travel editor for BBC Travel. And this segment of the show is sponsored by Alma Waterways.
Now's the time to be choosing your fall river cruise or even a European river cruise to the Christmas holiday markets. And you're not going to find a better experience than what's provided by Alma Waterways. We think they're the best for river cruising in Europe, Asia, Africa, and the level of service they provide is industry-leading and award-winning. They offer intimate, luxurious adventures that are affordable and unlike anything you'll find elsewhere.
You know, I think what we really like about the company is they're not going to nickel and dime you. And they're all-inclusive cruises. They include larger cabins, wonderful meals with fine wines and beer, local tours filled with history, the arts, and many other amenities. Simply put, your Alma Waterways ship, it's going to feel like a home away from home. They're offering some excellent specials right now. Mary just mentioned the Christmas markets, so check them out. You can do it all at AlmaWaterways.com or RudyMaxa.com under sponsors.
You last heard our next guest, Ann Banas, on the show with us back in January during our live New York Times Travel Show broadcast. Ann's the editor for BBC Travel, and she's joining us today to share some of the stories BBC Travel has put together for Canada's 150th birthday. The series is called To the Ends of the Earth.
Ann, nice to welcome you back to the show with Mary and me. You know, we've all had such busy schedules, and it's tough to keep in touch like we would like to. But how are things at BBC Travel, and how's your summer going so far?
Summer's going splendid. We have a lot of great stories on the site that I think people will be inspired to book a trip, get on a plane, and head out this summer.
Well, that's what we certainly try to inspire people to do that every week, so hopefully we'll do a little more of it right now. And, you know, we asked you to join us today as there's terrific coverage right now on Canada's 150th anniversary on the BBC Travel website. And it's not common travel fluff stuff, but rather it's engaging content that we want to talk to you about. So I'm not sure where Mary's going to go with this in a minute, but I'd like to start off discussing the isolated Magdalen Islands in the heart of Quebec's French-Canadian country. And let's talk about your coverage of this small community of English-speaking people who got there by the many hundreds of shipwrecks that occurred in the area.
Right. Well, this story is part of our series called To the End of the Earth. So we're going to really remote locales with a focus on Canada. And for Quebec, we went to the Magdalen Islands. And it's really interesting because we focused on an English-speaking minority within a French-speaking province within an English-speaking country. So these people had come over, and they wound up wanting to go to other places in Canada or across the eastern seaboard. And they basically crashed into this island. So we went up there to interview the survivors of all these shipwrecks who have wrecked over the past few hundreds of years. And they've been able to maintain this very small English-speaking community on this island.
And what I found interesting, not until recently, there hasn't really been a lot of interaction with their French neighbors, if you will, the French-Canadian neighbors. And I also found interesting that you can tell the English from the French in the color of their homes. I really just found the whole thing really enticing, and it was compelling stuff.
Yeah, it's a charming story, and the, you know, back in the day, there weren't a lot of roads and communication, you know, there weren't phones and things like that, so the communities definitely stayed separate. They each had their own church, they had their own sort of family plots where they used to live, and the French, you know, typical French culture, a little more vibrant, a little more effusive, they might hug and touch, where the English are a little more, we're just kind of nod your head kind of people, I think is one of our characters, was one of her great quotes. So you really have these two different types of people living there. But you will hear them say now that they really are one community, and they all love their story and the shipwrecks. And in fact, one of the French-speaking, actually the Coast Guard who's French-speaking, he has made it his life's mission to try to find this one particular ship, and he's been searching for it for quite a long time.
Very interesting. And one of the pieces or parts of that story that stuck out for me was how many people built homes from shipwrecks, like piece by piece, and they're still standing. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you think about how much wood. I think there was at least 1,000 shipwrecks that were documented that have crashed. So
Right. That's
a lot of materials that people can pull from as they pull things from the wrecks.
Right. All right. And let's head over to the eastern coast of Canada, to the province of Nova Scotia. Robert and I have been. We've taken our kids there. We have not been to Cape Breton, which I saw quoted, and the locals seem to call it as the island that's more Scottish than Scotland. I love this story about the kitchen parties. Why don't you touch on that for us?
Yeah, I love this story, too. And I actually went up there with our multimedia editor and cinematographer, Anna Bressonin, who came with us. Mm-hmm. And we did this story really to showcase the beauty of the island. We had beautiful drone footage, but we also wanted this one to focus on the people. And what's really fascinating about Cape Breton is it's been able to preserve Gaelic culture even more so than in places like Scotland. And part of that, again, a nod to the series, is because of the remoteness of the area. Many, you know, they didn't have phones until, I think, the 50s. Mm-hmm. So their isolation sort of allowed this culture to flourish. And what's really great about the culture is, you know, that one of the main things with Gaelic culture beyond the language is the music. So they've preserved these, what they call kitchen parties or ceilidhs, where the whole community comes together and it's a house full of fiddles, piano, step dancing, bagpipes, like the whole thing that you would imagine with Scottish culture all in one house. And it's really amazing and it's very authentic.
Very, very good story. Really inspired me to go to Cape Breton. And I love the combination on the website of the written story and the painting the picture with the words, but also all of the photos and the video. So you just said that you used drone footage for that.
We did, and, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, when you're talking about a place like Cape Breton, and honestly, the landscape even looks like Scotland.
Yeah.
It's incredible, the similarities. They have places they call the Highlands, they have golf courses. So to really showcase that, it's beautiful to get the drones and to get those overhead views because there's just so much to see that you just can't capture in
right.
a few words on the page. Yeah.
Right. All right, let me ask you to hold for a second so I can remind our listeners who we're speaking with. If you're just tuning in, Robert and I are talking with Anne Banas, the travel editor for BBC Travel, about their series celebrating Canada's 150th birthday to the ends of the earth.
So, Anne, you know, we've canvassed the entire country of Canada over the years. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've been up there. I don't know, you know, 18, 20 some odd times, whatever it's been. But, you know, I'd like to know what your favorite part of Canada is. And is there a place or maybe some places that you like to return?
Well, I spent a lot of time living in Boston. And for me, I also made a lot of quick trips to Canada over the years, and a lot of that was focused on the East Coast, so trips to Montreal, Quebec City, the Eastern Townships, and I think for me, I'd have to say I really love Quebec, because for me, it was just a short drive. You go through Vermont, and then all of a sudden, you're in a whole other country, in a whole other world, and it's everything. You go all different seasons. It has the beautiful fall foliage that you get in the autumn, but also there's a place that's sort of these mom-and-pop ski resorts that you can go just over the border that are absolutely beautiful, and then after skiing, you can go out for essentially a six-course French tasting dinner. So you kind of get the best of the different cultures there, and that's my favorite.
And I understand that, certainly the proximity from Boston and the entire country, though. I mean, this, you know, we talk about all the time, you folks, they want to go to Europe, they want to go to Asia, maybe Australia, and there are some phenomenal places around the world, and we encourage that. We want people to go travel. That's why we host a travel show. But, I mean, Canada really is, we've never had a bad time there, really haven't. And the people are friendly. Obviously, the currency exchange is great, and there's just such diversity. And you're right, the East Coast, terrific, but even when you get out to Calgary or Banff or Lake Louise or Jasper,
Vancouver.
Yeah. All
Vancouver
yeah.
Island.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Vancouver
yeah.
Island,
yeah.
Terrific. I mean, anyway, so when you did the series then, is there a place that you or, you know, maybe your BBC colleagues they've been talking about that's intrigued you that you haven't been to yet that you want to get to in the future?
Absolutely. And with the series, we wanted to cover all aspects of Canada. So we went to remote places in the Arctic. We talked to First Nations. We talked to, you know, obviously, people that are involved with music and sort of different things that represent Canada. But I think one of the ones that is one of my favorites is the story we did in Nunavut, which is probably the most remote place we've gone. It's pretty much right there up with Greenland. And we interviewed these people in this Inuit community who take a sled or a snowmobile and go get ice from these glaciers, which is considered to be the purest ice in the world. And then they take these chips of ice, bring them home, and then they make tea out of them. And they're essentially drinking water that has no trace minerals or any bits of dirt or earth. It's
well, and where is that?
Preserved.
Because,
it's in Nunavut. It's, yeah, the territory of Nunavut, way up there.
Way up, yeah.
Well, I always thought Iceland, we thought we had the purest
yeah.
water. Clearly, we have somewhere else we have to go. Well, Anne, listen, nice job on To the Ends of the Earth, Canada's 150th. We appreciate you discussing with us today. Safe travels, and we'll look forward to having you back. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, okay?
You too. Looking forward to it.
Take care, Anne.
All right. A great series. Go check it out, folks, at bbc.com/travel. That's BBC for British Broadcasting Corporation.com/travel. And it is To the Ends of the Earth, Canada's 150th. You can't miss it. It's right there on the homepage. A reminder to please connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're going to take a quick break. Segment 3 is next as the show keeps rolling right along. You're listening to Rudy Max's World with the Carries, and we're so thankful you are.
Max's World with the Carries by calling 800-387-8025. Access the show anytime at rudymaxa.com. We'll be right back.